Here's a song coming your way right now. Nowhere to Run To by Martha and the Vandellas. Yes! Hey, you know what I mean.
Too much?
Train, and there you are. Thank you for joining me today. This is Voices Carry Live with Randy Scott. That's me. This is your megaphone. This is your microphone. This is a podcast, independent venture from me, to try to bridge the gap between social media and talking with your neighbor. I'm running for the mayor of the beautiful village of Carry, Illinois, and I started this venture a while ago with the hopes of creating a better discussion and getting your voices heard, and that's what brings me to you here today. There is a village board meeting, and what we usually do is we do a live watch party of the village board meeting. We thank our village officials for doing, government is a large, complex machine. It's got a lot of rubber bands to it, and I like to empower. I like to bring things to everybody and kind of break down that fourth wall. So I brought this to a new platform to where I have the text. There won't be phone calls during the meeting, but you can text or message. And it's just a new way to get involved with the happenings of your town. I think anything that kind of like uproots or changes the entire fabric of the town and feel of the town deserves proper voices and potentially, like, referendums should be utilized more, I believe, when if you move into a town and then something changes drastically, you kind of had the rug pulled out from underneath you. So that's why I'm here bringing this to you. The Blueies are back. They are safe and sound here. And I got my Scott sign back from our filming day the other day, which is coming soon. And then the village board meeting agenda today. Let me get my camera pulled up. Here it is. That's me again. There it is. Let's take a look at. So there's about. That's a live look at the stream. There's 5 minutes, 40 seconds until they begin. So let's take a look at what they're going to be going over. So they'll have a roll call, Pledge of Allegiance, open forum to where anybody can talk from the community. Mayor's report for 10-year anniversary. Congratulations. And then the consent agenda. It'll be a warrant, which consider for approval a warrant, which is just a detailed list of what they spent money on to make the village operate. Village board meeting minutes, which is a detailed list of what they had spoken about from the prior meeting. Special village board meeting budget workshop minutes. We had a three-part series of that entire meeting. It was about a two-hour meeting, and we kind of broke it down. And then there is a marathon, the March Madness Marathon. So there's road closures for that. Approval for a resolution for sludge hauling, which is a byproduct of wastewater treatment. A temporary liquor license for Stars and Stripes Fest, Cary Grove Park District, for the Cary Park District. And consider for approval the electricity for streetlights through Municipal Electric Collaborative. So usually with a board meeting, like, you can go through, they can be like A through G is approved. And you at home are like, what just happened? And now you know. Because sometimes it's not all like fully discussed per one, because it's, you know, just boilerplate. Like, they do it all the time and they just go through and they approve it. But now I bring it to you. And, you know, if there's something that I can add context to, I do. If there is something that it needs more explaining, I'll look it up and bring it to you the next show. Since it's a village board meeting watch party today, there won't, as of right now, there won't be a 9 o'clock show, but that might change. And then immediately following the board meeting, there is a committee of the whole meeting, public comments. This is regarding a private property tree preservation requirement that they're looking into because of a resident that voiced a concern about trees being cut down on private property. And we looked at, this is the city of Crystal Lakes tree preservation. So we'll see if they kind of model it after that. It kind of goes into, like, if you have more than 3.5 acres, you have to get a permit to take down a tree. Even if it's struck by lightning or damaged or dying. So we'll see what they have to say about that. That could be affecting you at home. Let's take a look at the board meeting. Got 2.5 minutes. We got some weather coming in. We can take a look at the weather. Got some rain in the forecast. This is probably about our fifth, I would say more, probably like our 10th village board meeting watch party. And I'm really proud of what I've done here. And I always say we, because if it wasn't for my family, I wouldn't be able to do this. I come to an empty warehouse and I speak with you live. I don't have a net. There's nothing. You know, I'm going to make mistakes, and I just enjoy being live with you. That's something I look forward to doing. Maybe not every day, but it maybe like weekly. If I get the honor of serving you, I look forward to doing that kind of, like I said, break down the fourth wall. And what is a fourth wall? It's like when an actor looks at the camera and says something. Like if they're talking with somebody and then they say something cliche and look into the camera, that's the fourth wall. Like where the camera is right now, I guess I could do this. The lens is the fourth wall, and it's often like a mysterious green curtain at the end of the yellow brick road that I am taking a journey into the unknown, just like the movie Frozen, and all in the name of making a better life for my children and my family and your family, and I love every minute of it. So let's see where the board meeting is at. So that's up. Give me a moment while I take care of audio here. I hope everybody's having a great day.
Good evening. I'd like to call the village board meeting for the village of Cary for March 4th, 2025.
And here we go.
Fine. Here. Walrath?
Here.
Winehammer?
Here.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic.
Is there anybody else? Okay, let's go again. Thank you. Now we'll move to the open forum where the public is invited to make an issue-oriented comment on any matter of public concern not otherwise on the agenda. Thanks, Caitlin. Randall.
Randall Kohler, 352 Clara Lane, Cary. The issues I have are the same issues I've been bringing up over and over and over again, only I've got one more this time. First issue, of course, was the failed police investigation for felony fraud, for forgery. Then there's the failure of the building permit that was not valid, and the fact that there was the failure of the fact that there was a failed inspection that wasn't done properly. One more failure. In January, I was asked, well, let's meet, let's get together, let's talk about this. Give us your concerns. I did that in January. I came up with a page full of concerns. Haven't gotten anything back. Nothing. So I've gotten the same response on that as what I've gotten on the from the police, on the fraud, on the forgery, on the failed building permit, on the failed inspections. And everybody promises, oh, well, let us know what your issues are. Write them down. I did. Submitted the email. January 20th. No response. Oh, I got an email back that said, we'll get back to you. That was it. Now, it's really funny. The people on Decker, I was here a few months ago. There's somebody from Decker that came up and said, oh, my God, we got people speeding on Decker. And there was all kinds of people here that were, like, jumping to, well, let's get some data on this. Let's collect things. Let's put up these signs. You know, let's get a police patrol. Let's do that. There was actually an applause when the guy sat down. I've been in here dealing with frauds, scammers, and a criminal complaint that won't get looked at. And there's a lot of things that are very well seem like interconnected. from the building permit to the inspections to the investigations. Failure after failure after failure after failure. I'm not the bad guy here, I'm the victim. I came here looking for help. That's what I get. Nada.
Thank you for your comments.
Just quickly, Mayor, just for clarification, there was a, you did have a conversation with the state's attorney, correct?
Yes.
And has this been, I mean, I'm just trying to come up with where, what can we do? What is there anything that we are lacking that we should be doing?
We have, there needs to be an investigation.
Okay.
Mr.
Kohler, if you want to continue speaking, please come up to the microphone, so because we record all these.
Well,
please step up to.
If you'd like to call me, I would be happy to discuss it. Okay. Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to address the Village Board on any matter not otherwise on the agenda?
Susan Clark, I'm a resident of Cary. I have some pretty grave concerns over the newly proposed let's open up Route 31 onto New Haven Drive. Nobody in our neighborhood is interested in that at all. Routing the overflow traffic off of 31, which is already a nightmare, and sending it through a residential neighborhood is not a solution to the traffic problem. I realize that there's new housing going up. That's fabulous. I have no problem with new housing. I know we need it. But rerouting traffic off of Route 31 and making it a thoroughfare, especially with Walmart being there, it's not a solution. We have very little oversight in our neighborhood of speeding and running stop signs, and it would just magnify that to a great effect. And there are so many children in our neighborhood, like no one's doing anything about it now. So I'm very disappointed to see that someone thought that it was a fantastic idea to take traffic off of Route 31 and cut through a residential neighborhood. It's just not a great idea.
Well, I'll answer that. Nothing's been decided yet. We talked to a developer that was interested in it. They haven't submitted anything. Nothing has been happening so far. So
I thought it was a fantastic idea.
I do think that the development is a wonderful idea, and I have said that the concerns I had for that development was the New Haven Drive, and those are the things that we need to work through. But nothing. They haven't come back. We haven't done anything with them yet. Okay. There will be plenty of public notice. There will be plenty of public comments and meetings so everybody can understand what's going on. But as of right now, nothing is being presented to us.
Okay.
That was a cursory.
Concept.
It was a concept, but they haven't come to us officially yet. We deal with concepts all the time. We're trying to be as transparent as possible. When somebody comes and wants to do something in the Village of Cary, we welcome them to come to a committee meeting so that they can kind of unveil what they're thinking, get some input, seeing what the steps are. So we're far from anywhere on a development going on Route 31.
Would the residents of New Haven, that entire area, would we be notified in advance?
Yeah, there would be. I'll turn it over to. I'm just clarifying one thing. We typically don't get into this depth. This is public comment where you just tell us what you feel. But I believe that people need to have answers right away for something that isn't happening right now. So I'll let Brian explain what the process is.
Yeah, so from a development review process, the concept plan that was presented to the board back in December was the initial part of the development review process. So once they submit a formal petition to the village, there's a public hearing that process or that project would go through. So there's public notice required for that hearing. And also part of our development process, there's the opportunity for the developer to host an open house, which that will be advertised as well, that the general public can come and meet the developer and discuss their concerns with that before it goes into a public hearing process. So there still will be plenty of opportunity for the public to participate in the review of that project.
Okay. Well, my fear, good to hear.
I understand all the processes. My fear with this, it's going to be that Maplewood. You see so much with the Maplewood and how many residents are upset about that. And my fear is you're not going to even pay attention to what people on New Haven Drive think. It's really bad when a contractor, our landscaper, said it's an Indy 500 raceway. When they try to back out when they're plowing, they have to be careful because cars come flying around that bend without any care and then beep at you. Love it.
Could I have your name, please?
Jenny Palumbo.
I know you.
Yes, you do.
Are you the new HOA president?
I am.
See, I know. I pay attention. Yeah, well, there'll be plenty of public contact. You know, there's nothing's been decided. We haven't even had a real in-depth meeting about it. So once they formalize their petition, you will be notified. Just pay attention. We encourage people to pay attention all the time.
We have
meetings here the first and third Tuesdays every month, typically. And we welcome people to come and see what's going on and have a voice in it. We listen to what everybody says. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. But serious situations are at hand in a lot of the community. So we're going to listen to this, and we're going to pay attention and make the decision that's the best for the community. But no decisions, no discussion has been made about the potential development on Route 31.
Okay. Good to hear. We'll be paying attention.
Well, pay attention because, you know, we're hopeful that they'll come back. We love the fact that people want to invest in the community.
We have no problem with that. Obviously, we need new homes. We need new residents. We need new tax dollars. But at the end of the day, turning a beautiful residential neighborhood into a cut through for the congestion on Route 31, nobody's interested in that.
Okay.
You know.
Well, we appreciate your comments. Thank you for coming in. Appreciate it. Okay, we'll go ahead and close open forum.
Just a quick note on that. There is a lot of infrastructure that is put into place before to kind of set everything up to make it attractive for this project to happen. So I want to go back to the first moment. Like if a project like this, or like if an area is targeted for development, and it's like before we even start spending time and resources into making something happen, we need to get feedback from the community first, because there's like the water tower, public water supply loan, which is going to raise your water bill. That is part of bringing in that development, and that's part of the canned answer of, you know, we're going to listen. There's nothing set in stone yet, but the wheels are already turning to where it's going to, you know, the momentum. I want to get the village's input before that momentum and all that time and resources is put into it. And that's part of the reason I'm running, is to bring you those resources before all those resources are put into a project to where it's just kind of force fed to you.
Thank you again. This is a small token of our appreciation for your 10 years. So thank you.
And another, I want to introduce Nicole Collingborn. She is up here. She's our deputy village clerk. We're kind of in the midst of a transitional phase right now with this. We have a brand new assistant village administrator starting tomorrow who is replacing our former one. And Eric is attending a training session right now. So we're kind of mixed up a little bit, but we're competent of these things. So we're welcome Nicole here up at the dais, and we're excited that we're here, and we're excited to welcome Nick Radcliffe to the Village of Cary as our new assistant village administrator. He's coming to us from the city of Marengo as their current city administrator. So we're deeply excited, and I'm thrilled that the board is behind these moves and the direction that we're going. So thank you very much, and On another note, Trustee Ellen McAlpine had asked to make a few comments about a couple issues that have been brought to her attention.
I just wanted to, number one, the main thing that the village has been working on is really listening and trying to be as transparent and communicate with everyone. And with that in mind, I hopped onto some Facebook pages. And I'm going to be honest, as a resident, it's very disturbing to me sometimes to see the way that other residents treat each other, the nastiness, the name-calling. I can only say for myself, I was accused of gaslighting people. I was accused of being on the take, that this whole board is on the take, that we are liars, that we've overpaid for property, that, that we're just not, that we don't give a darn about anyone. So we are doing our best to get information out as effectively and as efficiently and as accurately as possible. That is why I know we've been setting up things for Maplewood so people can go on there. I'm sure if we have another development come in, we'll probably set up another Facebook maybe for that if that happens. But I just call on our residents to be civil and to be polite to each other and to understand that you can respectfully disagree with people without name-calling, without making false accusations, and without being nasty to your fellow neighbors. So I just wanted to kind of get that to the record, and I know that we're going to get some more information out on Maplewood as it becomes available. But, for example, what I've encouraged people to do when I go on is I'll just say, please come in if you have questions. If this is inaccurate information, please come into the Village Municipal Center. Make an appointment with staff, with an elected official to go through some of this stuff. Perhaps that can eliminate some of the angst that's going on. Again, with Maplewood, just like the mayor was saying with his project on 31, there's nothing decided yet. There's absolutely nothing decided other than, out of the three people that came with a request for proposal that we said we'd like to at least see if we can come to an agreement with anyone to start the process. And then the whole thing will start. And all of the outreach and all of the meetings and all the required stuff like that is going to happen. But I just want to say I would never gaslight someone. There was comments that I said that all I said that there's only demand for rental housing. No, would I to state the record correctly, I want to say here and now, we have a housing crisis. Not just in Cary, but all over the place. There's a housing crisis. That means single family homes. That means rental properties. That means multifamily. All different types of things out there that we have challenges with right now. So we do our best as elected officials. This is not we don't get benefits. We don't get retirement. We don't get insurance. People are under the impression that we're getting paid some big bucks to do this. I can assure you that we are not, that we are doing it because we care about our community. But I just would like to see some civility come back and people just treat people with respect. That's all.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. I will entertain a motion to approve the
So they're just going through to approve the consent agenda. I'd like to piggyback on what you just said. I completely agree. We have to be civil and disagree respectfully or agree respectfully. But when the project begins or the project, your voice has already been set on the back burner. And when I say that, I mean the comprehensive plan is kind of like a mold. And then once that's crafted, they paid $100,000 to have a comprehensive plan, and now they want to go back and re-update it. All that community outreach that they're speaking of should have been done when they're crafting the future of Cary. And if that's kept at a whisper when that's all happening, there could be plans like the New Haven Road and the backyards of Maplewood residents completely changing. All for Cary, the village of Cary, feeling like it has a responsibility to take the housing crisis on. And it's not the village of Cary's responsibility to completely uproot and change the whole feeling of Cary just to satisfy somebody with a clipboard and somebody. We see this at a world level, to where it's like we need to build stack 'em pack 'em housing. And I'm all for getting more folks into the community, but when it's at the expense of its citizens, that's where you get my attention.
This is the Hill Striders Half Marathon March Madness, an annual event that takes place in the village. That'll be on Sunday, March 16th at 8:30 a.m. Starting at the Cary Grove High School. Another project that is being undertaken by the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, they are working on a new regional transportation plan for the Chicagoland region, and as part of that, they have requested area residents, businesses, and other individuals to respond to a potential survey that they have on their website. It takes about 10 minutes to complete, but would provide information to the agency as far as goals and objectives and strategies for potential transportation improvements throughout the Chicagoland region. So staff would recommend residents that are interested in that to either scan the QR code or go on the website to fulfill that survey. Also planning for the Cary Main Street Fest for 2025 continues. We have various sponsorship opportunities, a few which have sold out already based off sponsorships that we have received. So if there's individuals that are interested or businesses in the village that are interested in participating in that, there are opportunities for sponsorships for the event later this year. And finally, the last item of information to report on is the spring cleanup dates have been set for the village, an annual opportunity that we provide residents for cleaning out household items. Those two dates would include Saturday, April 26th for the areas south of the railroad tracks and Route 14 in the village, and then Saturday, May 3rd for the area north of the tracks. That opportunity, again, is offered as part of our annual waste hauler contracts. Happy to answer any questions that the board may have, but that's an update of things occurring.
Thank you. Any future agenda items and discussion by the village board? None said. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned at 6:21. Hold on 1 second. We'll be right back with our committee meeting.
Well, that was the village board meeting, and you got to see our village officials go to work. It's a big moving wheel with a lot of cogs, and sometimes we agree, sometimes we disagree, and it's all about talking. Once we start talking and bringing the where we want to see Cary, like with the comprehensive plan, which we went over, I'll tag a link to the comprehensive plan video that I did. That was done by a service. And I think they did do some community outreach, and they went through the motions of hearing stuff. And some of it might have been crafted with that in mind. But what I saw was just we're gonna put our housing projects where we want them so that we can keep up with Crystal Lake. And I don't want to see Cary turn into essentially like a 15-minute city, to where you have all these single-family homes that moved here with a vision of a white picket fence, and they have the vision of not a lot of traffic on their streets. And a lot of people that I speak to, a lot of the voters I speak to, say I always ask, like, what would you like to see done in Cary? And it's always keep it small, because when the economy gets better, and I agree with them, when the economy gets better, you're going to see the inventory of apartments skyrocket, because people are looking for homes and that forever home more than ever, because they're not going to want to pay $3,000, $4,000 a month for a resort style living. And Cary has an amazing opportunity to brand itself as that forever home. Strong village, strong police, strong fire. and essentially living up to our name, a village. Give me one moment while I pull in the community as a whole. And they'll be talking about this tree. This tree ordinance.
By the Community Development Department. And then there's regulations for trees that are in public property. So parkways, municipal property, and streets, which are handled by the Public Works Department. Under our Unified Development Regulations, there are requirements for landscape and the preservation of trees and provisions for landscaping for properties. However, those regulations specifically apply to any new multifamily developments or non-residential development. So existing single-family homes would not be subject to those provisions. And any project that is expanding a building, either a large amount of over 20% of their existing floor plan or 5,000 square feet, the Unified Development Ordinance would require new landscaping to be installed per our current regulations. And then once a plan is approved for a site as part of that permitting process, they're required to maintain that, and the removal of any trees that would be on a property would require permits through the Community Development Department, and then there would be replacement of those trees if necessary. But then again, that code does not apply to single-family residences. Individuals currently under our regulations could remove a tree without needing a permit from the Village of Cary. On the public property side, likewise, those trees are all maintained by the village. If a homeowner or property owner were to remove a tree or seek to modify or trim a tree on the right-of-way, they would need a permit through the Public Works Department to do so, and that would be administered through their offices. The matter which kind of sparked this debate was related to a property in the Trout Valley subdivision. There is a homeowner of the property wanted to remove several trees around the property, over 30 trees that were impacting the existing ability for the property to have landscaping grow on the property. The amount of shade that it was producing did not allow for a stand of grass really to grow on the property. They were also planning to do other improvements to the site as far as removal and replacement of the driveway, which the existing trees which are close to the driveway would impact that proposed improvement. The homeowner did contact both the Trout Valley subdivision and the village prior to doing the removals. We indicated that there was no permit required from us for that work, and then the subdivision HOA did the same as well as far as what was proposed. So just for reference, the site in particular here is atypical of others within the village as far as its contours, as the size of the property. It was over an acre and a quarter in size. Obviously, it was a densely wooded property, but the majority of parcels in the village are less than a half acre in size, with the majority of them roughly a third of an acre. So this subject area is unique from a standpoint of the amount of trees that was on it compared to other properties within the village. To review other communities that are in the area, we've looked at a few local municipalities. Each one, of course, treats trees differently as far as how what permits may be required or may not be required for single-family residences. In the top two cases, the Village of Algonquin and the Village of Lakewood, both do require permits for tree removals. In the case of Algonquin, If a tree has a diameter of more than 10 inches in size, which is a fairly substantial tree, as you can imagine, they would require a permit for that removal and require the replacement of a tree as well as part of that project. If a property is proposing to remove more than 4 trees in that municipality, they would require a tree survey to show the location and what the impact would be on remaining trees within the area. The Village of Lakewood is another community that does require permits for the removal of trees. Any tree that is taller than 20 feet in size or larger than 6 inches in diameter, they do require a permit from the village for that on private property. And then they also do require a replacement tree to be provided as well. Conversely, the City of Crystal Lake and City of McHenry in certain circumstances, do require permits, but the properties that are exempted from requiring that would essentially be most of the single-family zone parcels within those communities. In Crystal Lake, the permit would not be required if a property is under 3 acres in size and zoned single-family. So permits are typically only required for the removal of trees on commercial property, multifamily developments, or commercial nursery would not be required a permit. In McHenry, similar, they have size requirements as well for single-family zone parcels. So if the parcel is over 2 acres in size, they would require a permit. In the subject case that was discussed this evening, the subject property would not have been subject, if it were in McHenry, to require a permit for doing that work. Also, all non-single-family zone parcels of greater than 1 acre in McHenry would need a permit for tree removals as well. So this information generally, again, just provide for reference. If there is a desire from the board to make regulations or modifications to our existing regulations, we're happy to have it for discussion. More just to see if there's a desire to have additional discussion on it and potential, if so, to adopt new regulations. We can certainly draft regulations to bring back for the board for future consideration. But I'll be happy to answer any questions the board may have or provide additional commentary for discussion as well.
Sure. Mr. Tomasello, want to come up? And then I want to go back to that one slide of Child Valley, when they're talking about those pictures too. Yes.
My name is Jim Tomasello. I'm a resident and a contractor in town here. I think a lot of you know who I am. I don't think government needs to get involved in removing trees on single family homes, private properties. You know, it causes a lot of stress and problems for homeowners having to get permits and for us contractors getting permits on things to do with cost and timely manners of getting stuff done. You know, a lot of times we're out removing trees or doing maintenance on trees, trimming trees, and we find a potential problem of a weak limb in a tree or something, or splitting down the center that you can't really see from up there, and we need to get the tree down. And we explain to the customers at that time, you know, this tree needs to be removed. We need to do it now. You leave that tree up, you come in for a permit, you're waiting for the time to come through and stuff. That tree could potentially fall in somebody's house at that time. And then we have other problems here. Like, this isn't something that is that your arborist is going to run right out and look at. I don't even know if the city has a full-time arborist on staff here or not, or who's going to be in charge of saying, yes, that tree has come down, no, that tree doesn't. I mean, there's more problems than just looking at dead trees or damaged trees or trees that break off during storm damage. I mean, a branch gets broke during the storm and the rest of it's still standing there, but you guys can't really see the potential that needs to come down or not if it's going to fall on someone's house. Also, raising costs of this is going to bring a fluctuation between if somebody wants to pay to take a tree down that could possibly fall on their house or their neighbor's house because of the cost of it. You know, it's going to rise everything up and do it. I don't think government needs to be involved in tree removal in people's houses just because someone wants to make their house or their property look better or clean up or clean undergrowth out. I mean, a tree is a tree to a lot of people. A lot of people don't know the difference between what a good tree is or a bad tree, if it's a box elder or if it's an oak tree. Like, yeah, like these people removed a bunch of trees in their house. They made it a lot better, getting rid of all the undesirable and invasive trees that we don't want. And, you know, a tree hugger is mad that they've cut them down. Sometimes it just has to be done because there's more benefits in removing a tree. That's why we have forestry programs for removing trees. Cut them down, let the new ones live. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments by the committee?
Sure, I'll go. I agree. I don't think we should regulate private property with trees. It's just my opinion.
I agree with everything that you said. And I do think it opens us up for a situation where then you could have, if you have a neighbor that you don't get along with and they're mad and they say, get in there and chop down that tree. And you're saying, well, I don't want to do that. It's going to cost me $700 to get it down. I think that's one of the advantages of home ownership, for you to get to decide how you want to handle your property. So I agree with you.
I will comment too, and just to say, if there's a tree that is damaged or that is causing a potential harm for an adjacent property, if there's a, we can, from a property maintenance standpoint, address those types of issues as well. This is more if, and just from a standpoint, if there's a dangerous tree or something that has a limb that's broken that's overhanging a house, we do have the ability to compel somebody to make an improvement to their property to remove that dangerous condition.
Public safety.
Mm-hmm.
Always public safety. I have no stomach for this level of involvement of the municipality on private property. We have enough ordinances to cover safety issues. There's only a handful of buildable, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but there's only a handful of buildable lots left in Cary at the moment. So, you know, the fact that all the single family homes already not falling under a lot of these, I think it would be an excessive use of what we're trying to gain that we still have. As Director Simmons, the mayor, was just mentioning, we still have the ability to work with dangerous situations if need be, but to do so out of just a desire not to cut down trees, I don't think that's within our purview of what we should be doing.
I agree wholeheartedly. It was well said. There's a lot of properties in town that need some help. When this was presented to us, you know, nobody had seen what was going on. But when you do the inventory of the trees, and we do have two arborists on staff that. When they look at these things, you want to get rid of the overgrowth and you want to get rid of the unhealthy trees. It's a safety issue. And it's private property. They have the right to do what they want to do on their property. And I wholeheartedly think that individual property owners have that right to make that decision. If they want to take down all the trees in their on their yard, that's their business. But I don't really see a need to get involved in this at all. It's not really what we should be doing. There's plenty of other things that we need to be working on. So that said, does anybody want to take this any further? Okay, thank you. Appreciate your comments. I will entertain a motion to adjourn into executive session to discuss litigation pending or imminent. 5 Illinois CS 120/2C.
So that was the committee of the whole meeting. Rarely anything happens by accident. Kind of what just happened there. You saw all the slides that were put together, and then you had a board that was completely aligned with one message. All that time and resources to put those slides together and that presentation and that show could have been spent elsewhere. Everybody was on the same page of property rights, which is a thing of mine. I thoroughly believe in property rights, and that doesn't just go with trees. I enjoy large trees, but you know if a tree's having a hard time or if it's a safety issue, absolutely. But when it comes down to you have to look at past decision making. Like, we agree that you can do something with your own property now, after a whole presentation that was put together. But when it comes to like the electricity program that was force fed and forcibly changed, so they're acting to change how you run your household in that matter. Took a lot of time and resources to get this on the agenda, to have a presentation put together. And that's the left hand not talking to the right. It shouldn't be a mystery within an organization of your mission and your values and your goals. And when something comes like this, it should be immediately, that's not within our purview. Not after a whole bunch of time, resources, and money was spent on putting a presentation together. That time could have been spent on the road in front of your house. And that comes down to efficiency. Having a clear mission, having a clear vision. That's what I look forward to bringing you. Have a great rest of your evening. We broadcast live every weekday to X Rumble, YouTube, Facebook. And if you don't like to see my face for radio, I don't blame you. You can download the podcast wherever you get your podcast from. And thank you for joining me for the Village of Cary watch party. And I will see you tomorrow on Voices Cary Live. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
You're confirmed at T-minus 10 seconds.
In counting, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Reach for the sky.
Huh?
This town ain't big enough for the two of us.
What?
Somebody's poisoned the water hole.
It's busted.
Who are you calling busted, Buster? That's right. I'm talking to you, Sid Phillips. We don't like being blown up, Sid. Or smashed, or ripped apart.
We?
That's right, your toys.
Play nice.